Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Don't you guys love the word? I tell you, these messages, it's interesting because I absolutely love to bring the word to this church, to this house, because I'll just tell you, it's a winning team. And any of you guys that have ever been on a winning team or coached a winning team, it's fun to coach when your team is winning. And that's happening here. And for you guys that don't know, the way Sandy and I we pastor is also the way we parent. So it's family. That's what it's built like here. And, you know, we want you to make yourselves at home, but you also have to understand that once in a while, we're going to get in your kitchen a little bit. You know, we want to make sure that, because this life that God's called us to live, the life of more than enough that God's given us, is the greatest life known to mankind. There's none better. And I understand we can foul it up. We really can. Our decisions and our habits are going to determine the type of life that we live. The words, the way we think, the words that we speak, the things we talk about. You know, there's a lot of conversations that we have in life that it's like, okay, how'd you get in that conversation? And really, is there anything redeeming about it? And we have to be those people that, man, we stay on the side of redemption. We stay on that side. But the message of, like I bring a message every Wednesday and every Sunday in our church, our churches. And I want you to know it's a life message. It's not just something I've heard. It's not just something I've read. It's truly like what you're going to get today is truly just an outpouring of what's in my heart and my life. And I'll just tell you, putting a message together, whether you're preaching it or you're teaching your children or you're living it, okay, there's five key ingredients to that message. The number one is that it has to solve a problem. Is it? And really, honestly, that's what we're here to do. We as a church, the ministry, we're here to solve problems. We're here to be helpful for people, but it has to solve a problem. It has to be true. It's helpful. It has to be focused. And really, that's something that I had to grow into as a speaker, as a pastor, because I'm by nature an abstract thinker. And therefore, an abstract communicator. And it's interesting because abstract people are loving the tangled web that I'd weave in my messages. But really, concrete people, black and white people, organized people are like, is he going to make a point? And so you have to make sure you make a point, but it's got to solve a problem. It's got to be true. It's got to be helpful. It's got to be focused. You know, it's got to be bullet points. There's got to be an outline. And to our life. And really today I want to talk to you about the outline of your life. But it also, and this is the key for you today, it has to be action oriented, or it has to cause an action. You know, Newton had a law that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, that there has to be an action that's produced from these messages, from our lives, that where you realize, wait a second, this is going to require some action from me. And I'll tell you, with the word, it requires action. See, what we know that faith is what we say and what we believe. But let me just tell you, James said this, the half-brother of Jesus. He said, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. See, we have to be doers of the word. We've got to be, and the Bible even says, be doers and not hearers only. And I think a lot of times the way modern, trendy, pretty church is designed a lot of places is for people just to be able to hear it. Well, we got to do it. You know, there was a type of philosophy, I guess, and doctrine over the years that I've heard that we're not human doings, we're human beings. And it's like, yeah, I think that's warm and fuzzy, but I'm not sure how that really helps people. I'm just telling you, speaking to the fellas in this room, because I'm a guy, you got to do it. You got to be about it. You can't just hear it. You can't just think, oh, okay, I know the truth. No, we have to know it and live it. And that's how it comes alive in our life. You know, that we dwell in his house, we live in his house. Man, that's the, we live in his word, we live by his principles. See, that's the key. You know, our, what's hard, and I've been talking the last few weeks about the tithe, about generosity, about our money, about our resources. And I'll tell you, when I started it a few weeks ago, I got a strong conviction in the middle of the message. And this rarely, I don't know if this has really happened in a long time to me, but this conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not sure this has been delivered strongly enough in our church. And I'll tell you, because the average American, and it's probably many people in our churches today and people watching online, that when you get paid, your priorities, which is how you live it out, is that you spend, that you pay your bills and you pay your taxes and then you save and then you find a way to scrape something together to give. See, and what we've got to understand, and we've got to teach our children, is we've got to flip those priorities. The first thing that we do is we give. That's the first thing. And Malachi 3, God says, look, you've robbed me. And they said, how have we robbed God? And he said, with your tithes and your offerings. It's not with your money. We've robbed God of the opportunity to do what? To open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we're unable to receive because it's so great. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful land. See, and I'm like, wait a second. That has to be reflected in our life. The world's got to see that. Let me tell you, the devil is not going to stop. He's not going to stop with his deception, his lies, by making you think that it's all about the money. You know better than that. Man, there's going to be people that are going to watch on the internet, and they're going to post things, or they're going to email, or they're going to text, they're going to do things where it's like, well, at Guts Church, all they talk about is money. It's all about the money. You know better than that. For real, if you've been here any length of time, you know that that's not what Sandy and I, that's not what the leadership, that's not what the core of this church is about. You know better. Man, over $1.5 million in 2016 went to missions and outreach out of this church. That's money that you, it goes directly to helping hurting people and meeting the needs of the poor and taking care of the poor. And the Bible says when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Think about your heavenly account right now. Man, it's not just for pretty, shiny stuff. Man, it goes right into the cupboards and refrigerators of people's homes. Man, week in and week out, I see people leaving Friday groceries with carts overflowing with groceries. Oh my gosh. Let me just tell you, the equity that we have, not just in our community, not just with the poor, but in heaven, is a monster. See, we've got to understand that, but our mentality and our relationship regarding money, it's influenced so much by the world that we live in. And you got to decide whether you're in the world or you're in the kingdom. Really, that's where the ultimate decision is for your life. Are you kingdom-minded? Are you worldly-minded? Is this casual? You know, I think there's too many people that'll say, I don't know where my money goes. Man, you might say it. You might think that. Where does all our money go? Man, look at how much money we make. And where does it go? And then you start looking at it and you start, wait a second. Man, this is important. I need to know. And the bottom line is there's too much in God's word that creates healthy, prosperous lifestyle for us. There's too much for us to struggle with money and resources. I'm just telling you, you go to the word, and I challenge you to begin to read the word and read the word and say, God, Let that dashboard light blink when that scripture that I come across is talking about my money or my resources. It will shock you how often it happens. The number one issue in families that causes separation and divorce is money and finances. The number one. And I think it stems from that attitude is, well, where does all our money go? Well, I'm just telling you, you need to seize this moment. Man, if I tell you, the tithe is non-negotiable. See, us, the tithe and our stewardship go hand in glove. But let me help you. They become habits in our life. Like Sandy and I received a check in the mail this week. I looked over, Sandy's texted an amount, and she looked. She said, "That's a tithe on that check." Where I'm just telling you, it becomes a habit. And let me tell you, your habit is not going to reflect; it's going to produce your lifestyle. See, and there's so much greed, and there's so much me, and there's so much. Well, but I need to be comfortable. Well, I need the creature comforts of life. Do you understand? The creature comforts in our lives many times keep us from being true disciples of Christ. And I know that's harsh. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But I'm telling you this because I dearly love you and it matters to me. I'm telling you because I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and make account for the way people think. I'm not going to make account for you, for what you do or what you say, but how you think, yes, absolutely. Man, just like a coach, I'm telling you, man, they put players on the field and they teach them and they design plays and they align them and but they've got to go do the job. They've got to make the block. They've got to make the tackle. They've got to make the catch. You know, it's so interesting because, you know, our son-in-law, Press, is married to Brooklyn. That's got a, what is she, like a month now, Teal Marie? Got the most precious little month-old baby on the planet. But it's interesting because he coaches for the Philadelphia Eagles. And a couple of years ago, Sam Bradford was the quarterback for the Eagles. And Sam gets hurt, you know, a couple times. And they're like, well, can he make it through a season? And can he do it? Whatever. But the Eagles don't make the playoffs. And everybody wants to blame Sam. Everybody wants to point a finger. He's an All-American quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner at OU, and a strong Christian. But let me just tell you, the interesting thing about that is that there were 62 drops that season by wide receivers and tight ends. And it's funny because what Press told me, he said, if those players would have caught those balls, Sam would have broken every passing record in the NFL record books. See, so you look at it, you think, well, wait a second. Oh, my gosh. And that's who we are. See, this isn't just taught. This has to be caught. And, you know, whether you're a football fan or not, I'm telling you, so much of your life, you want to blame your situation, you want to blame your circumstances, and many times you want to blame God. But you got to look at it and think, am I catching this? Today, are you catching this? This is not about money. This is about purpose. This is about the kingdom. Do you understand? You want me to go to extremes here? Do you know the Bible says that God gives us the power? Everybody say power. And you'll say, yeah, God gives us power. God gives us power. It's wonder-working power. Absolutely. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. But listen, God gives us the power, listen, to get wealth. And you'll think, woo, you kidding me? Man, I just won the lottery. Man, I'm ready to cash in. That's the wrong attitude. Because that scripture doesn't stop with us, God giving us the power to get wealth. It finishes with this, listen, to establish his covenant. See, that's what my life's about. That's truly what your life is about. Your life's about living this earth, breathing the air God's given us to breathe to establish his covenant. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus was born a virgin birth. That's why Jesus was a man who was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. Do you understand how this all points to all God wanting to do is bless us? But he doesn't bless us so that we can have a bunch of stuff. It doesn't bless us so that we can, no. He blesses us, listen, so that we can turn and be a blessing. See, for us just to say, well, I'm blessed. You know me, I'm blessed. No, I'm a blessing. If we stopped short of that, I'm telling you, we look like the way the church has looked for a long time. We care about us. You know, and that's the bottom line. The bottom line, the fallen nature of people is that they don't care that your dog died. They care that their dog died. You know what? We can't. Jesus became the Lord of our life so that we do care about people. We do care what people are going through. After the service today, if there's anything that you need that we can help you with, we want to. If you're going through a struggle, it might be a little struggle that somebody with a size 12 boot needs to just go and just plop their foot down, I can handle that. Or you may be facing a Goliath issue or challenge. I'll tell you, I don't want you to go through it alone. I want to help you. And you'll say, well, you personally? Yes, absolutely. Man, we've got, and let me just tell you, if it gets to be too much, we've got able people around us. But let me just tell you, my email is pastorbill@gutschurch.com. Just email me. It will get to me. I will find out. I will respond. But see, we've got to understand, we can't go through this alone. But I'll tell you too, we can't let the world go through this alone. Man, I hear so many people that go through things in the church, and I find out about it later on. Some people even leave the church, and they'll say, well, man, I was going through this, and I didn't hear from anybody. And it's like, I didn't know. I'm a very strong Christian. I am spirit-filled and spirit-led. I am not a psychic. Man, if you're going through something right now, at the end of our service, we're going to have elders and key leaders are going to be up here praying for people. Utilize that opportunity. Give God an opportunity. You know what? Man, that's a form of the tithe. That's you putting God first. That's all the tithe is. It's just putting God first in our life. Man, God, I'm going to put you first in my health. I'm going to put you first in my finances. God, I'm going to put you first in my marriage. Man, I'm just telling you, if there's a pothole to hit in married life, I've hit it. Man, the ride that Sandy's been on, I'll tell you, once in a while, we got to get our front end aligned. And it's not because of her. I'm telling you, I can find a pothole. But the bottom line is, man, we've got to keep rolling. And we can't do that without help. And it's not, I want to ease it for you a little bit and just say, we can't do that without help sometimes. It's all the time. Man, write this down. I need help. So that's why Jesus came and said, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What the blind man say that I might see? Man, the goal here in our lives, and I think all too often that in our lives, I'm a Cardinal fan. Did you guys know that? I'm a St. Louis baseball Cardinal fan, and I'll tell you why. It's because I'm a Christian. Because I love Jesus, I root for the Cardinals, okay? I'm just telling you, 11 world championships, I don't know. Eric Hansen's here. He's a diehard fan of another team north of St. Louis. How many world championships do they have? Yeah. Actually, it's two, okay? But let me tell you, the Cardinals have 11. You know what I want? I'm 59 years old. I'm thinking, I've got a few more years on this earth. I want 6 or 8 more championships. And I'll tell you why. I want to coach a winning team. I want to root for a winning team. I want to be a part of a winning team. Some of you guys, I'll tell you, with the Cardinals, and I'll tell you this, Eric, if the Cardinals don't win this year, Matheny, who's a fine man, God-fearing man, loves God, good coach, get rid of him if they don't win. Fire the manager. Some of you guys need to do that with your mindsets. Fire the dadgum manager. Man, get a winner. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand here. Man, let's change the atmosphere a little bit. Man, it's time for us to win. Man, put Jose Oquendo in there. Man, he's bilingual and he's fun and who cares? Just get somebody winning in there. That's what you've got to do in your head. Fellas, girls, don't do this. Make a fist. Give me about medium pressure. Just like this. Go knock it at the door. That's what you got to do. Girls, you got to hear your men's skull getting tapped there. They're boys. That's the only way they're going to listen. They only understand, girls, they only understand one thing, pain. Okay? My wife hits me. It's like, oh, gosh, give me a break. Sandy and I were newlyweds. We'd been married a few years, and you know, a few months. And you know, you guys, you walk around, you've been married a few months. You flex when you walk by your wife. You suck it in a little bit like this. You're walking by, and it's like, yeah, you got, look what you got, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know what you got. I don't know what you did to deserve this, but let me tell you, this is a total dadgum package right here, dog. One time I walked by her like that, she hit me. No, it's not funny. My arm went dead. I'm like, oh. Like she hit a pressure point or something, like those guys that could just drop you when they pinch you like this. And it's like, boom, we're like this. I'm like, dear God. I said, what was that? She goes, I thought you were tough. And you're a rugby player. I'm like, I'll tell you, I get feeling back in my arm, it's going to be on. But all the girls getting mouthy now, thinking they're all. But let me just tell you, man, fire the manager. The goal here in our life, okay? You guys want to know what the goal is? Any of you guys goal-oriented? You want to set some goals? The goal is we have to become responsible managers of what God has given us. That means my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my money and my job. I've got to be a responsible steward and manager. And what a steward is, stewardship is, that, man, this all belongs to somebody else. See, God wants us to take ownership, but know that it's His. Does that make sense? Man, we serve at the pleasure of the King. And that's honor. See, respect is, I'm going to respect you because you've earned it. Honor is, you have to earn respect. Honor's given. I'm going to honor you because I'm honorable. See, so every one of you guys, with the way your cars, you're helped being parked, you're greeted, you're set, you get your kids checked in. Man, we're making sure, and let me know if that's not the case, because the bottom line is we're going to honor you because we're honorable. We're going to give honor to every person we can. Why? Because that's value. And see, what stewardship is, it's just simply worthy of trust. And in 1 Corinthians 4:2, you can just write that down real quick. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. See, the Bible says that if you're faithful in what's small, God will give you much. You'll be faithful in much. See, there's a proving ground. Sir, you're in it. You're in it right now. There's a proving ground. Is this stuff sticking in your life? You know, you'll be walking along, and you'll get a temptation. You'll think, oh my gosh, what's happening? Well, you know that the Word's working in your life when you pause at that point of temptation. And let me understand this. Temptation's not sin. It just feels like it. See, Jesus was tempted, yet knew no sin. See, and wait, my head hurts. Did I hit myself too hard? But maybe I'm not as tough as I thought I was saying. I got a little lightheaded there for a minute. Might have concussed myself. But that'll grow the church. Rarely are preachers going to concuss themselves in a message, to sell out to the message. See, I'm sold out to the message. I got broken. Anyway, man, don't you know that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Why? Because you've been bought with a price. And the price you've been bought with, let me just tell you, your earthly, your meager, miserable life was more important to God than the life of His Son, Jesus. That puts it in terms that the devil's trying to lie to you about and deceive you about. Man, that we're not our own. Man, I'm His now. My life is His. My heart is His. My ambitions are His. Man, I'm the very sanctuary of what God's doing. See, God used to, in the Old Testament, God would use buildings. He would use places. He would use objects. He would use animals. He doesn't use any of that stuff anymore. Man, I ran across somebody and said, I'm just waiting on my burning bush experience. I'm like, don't hold your breath. Let me tell you something, sucker. This new and better covenant we have, God doesn't use burning bushes anymore. God uses people. You know, this is as close to a burning bush as you're going to get, okay, right here. I know it's not as romantic. I know it's not as much fun. But I'm just telling you, this is what God uses. But we're not owners. We're simply managers. That money, those bills you're stacking up, they're not yours anymore. God's going to give you a way where there was no way. Man, that's who we have to be. We're managers. This means our stuff is God's stuff. We have to responsibly manage our finances in a way that honors and pleases God. See, that's it. Let me just tell you. Do you want, I want to say most, but it's probably well over 90% of your issues go away when you realize that all God's looking for you is to manage your life, manage your stuff, manage your resources, manage your money where it pleases Him. Where it's pleasing to Him, that's it. And to do that, I'm telling you, and it's not just for fun anymore. This is serious. Fire the manager. Get a new mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That pleases him. Man, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Man, these scriptures that you're hearing today, man, go re-listen to this message on the internet and go back through those scriptures. And as you're reading those scriptures in your Bible, write down what God's saying to you. And I'll tell you, I guarantee you, God's going to speak to you. This is how God speaks. He speaks through his word. I'm just telling you, that's what it's going to, you're going to read that scripture and say, God, what are you telling me? And just write it down and look at it and go, and I'm telling you, I guarantee it, you're going to say, wow, God just spoke to me. You know, there has to be a new mentality, and that mentality has to be a stewardship mentality. That my time, my efforts, my energy, man, the last thing that I want to do is spend all my energy on the stuff that I need that's required because I pastor the church or I've got their staff, there's all this stuff, and leave no energy for Sandy. That's not right or fair, and my marriage is going to end up suffering. So what do I put first? I put God first. What do I put second? My marriage second. Some of you guys have got children and say, well, that's hard. No, it's not. You want to raise great kids, keep your spouse at a priority above your children. You're like, yeah, but they need me more. No, they don't. They need you. They need to see you loving your spouse more. I know it sounds difficult, and I know that there's conventional wisdom in the world that may count as, I'm just telling you, man, this is what the word says. A stewardship mentality where how we handle God's resource in our life, what it does. Here's what it does. Number one, it meets our need. See, so now we're not that needy people anymore. Now we're a needless people. And you might say, well, I'm limited because of my job. No, you know what Paul said? You're limited by your own affections. You're not limited by us. You're not limited by your job. You're not limited. You're limited by your mindset. Number one, the stewardship mentality is it meets my needs because God's got them more than enough. Number two, it's a blessing and it's more than enough. Every time you read God's blessing in the word or you hear it at church or you hear it in conversation, you think more than enough. That's what you got to think, more than enough. More than enough, more than enough. Why? What's the enemy gonna do? The enemy's gonna try to get you thinking, man, I don't have enough. I'm not I didn't get invited to that party. I wasn't asked to that dance. I didn't get, well, let me tell you, you grow up with that, you start thinking, well, I guess it's just never gonna be a dream scenario for me. No, let me just tell you something. Our God's greater. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. You know what that translates to, the Sheer translation? We win every day. Man, that's what's going to reach the world. That's what's going to win the world. Number one, it meets our needs. Number two, it's blessings in our life. And the Bible says blessings forevermore. The Bible says that his blessings come upon us and overtake us. And the idea is that even when we're running away from him, his blessings come upon us and overtake us. Do you understand God daily? Everybody say daily. Daily. Every day God loads us with benefits. Every day. How was your day? Oh, it was a rough day for me today. It was a valley day for me today. Oh, man, things are tough. It's like, oh my gosh, change your mentality. You're missing out on the benefits that God has for you. But number three regarding a stewardship mentality is we accomplish God's purpose in the world, and it's through us. Golly, I live for that. Here I am, God, use me. Stewardship, we have responsibility to please God with all of our resources, no matter what it is, no matter what we face, no matter what's out there. Man, I've got so much to say about this, and Jeff's trying to keep me on track. Man, there's two things in our life that work in harmony. Can you hear this? And they're not independent of each other. They're interdependent. They work together. Number one is the tithe. And number two is our stewardship. Some of you guys have got the tithe down, and you're like, man, why, man, I tithe, why isn't this working? I'd check my stewardship if I was you. Are you treating life like it's your own? And I'll tell you why. We can't be passive and just sit back and continue in bad habits. If your marriage is rough right now, go to your habits. Because I'll tell you, we're creatures of habit. We get in a rut. We need to lock in to the promise and the blessing that God gives us, understanding that the progression of the word instructs us how to obtain them. It leads us to obtain them. It gets us to a place where we live them. See, it all works in harmony. It's the tithe, it's our stewardship, and it's a daily consumption of his promise, of his word. Gives us this day our daily bread, daily loads us with benefits. His mercies are new daily, every morning. Man, we see the blessing when we hold fast to the promise and commit to its progress and its process in our lives. Man, I want it to be like this. I want it to be overnight. I want it to, God, fix her. God, you gave me this wife to be a blessing. Man, the Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now listen, and favor with the Lord. But you know what? My habits can contradict that. My habits can mess with that. Proverbs 21:5 is real clear. It says the plans of the diligent lead to plenty or prosperity. But those of everyone who's hasty or takes shortcuts. See, we live in a shortcut world now. Man, the whole dot-com world that we live in, the whole insider trading world that we live in, and that's what this is right here. The kingdom is inside information. It's insider trading. It gives us an advantage. Do you understand? You have an advantage with above every coworker and every person that you work with that doesn't know the Lord, you have an advantage. Every competing business. But the shortcuts lead to poverty. Man, if you've got a month-to-month life that you're living, man, go to the Lord and say, God, show me where I'm taking the shortcuts. Bill Wilson said this to me 15 years ago. He's at the church preaching, and tremendous soul winner, and gives his life for the poor, and just an incredible story. He said, Bill, what I appreciate about you is you and Sandy hit every step. You're not trying to find the elevator. And it really stuck with me in my life when he said that. We can't take shortcuts. Man, husbands, look at your wives right now and look at and say, God, where are the shortcuts that I'm taking? I don't want to take any more shortcuts with my wife, with my children, with my church. I'm not taking shortcuts here. I'm telling you, man, God's hands on your life. All he wants to do is prosper you and bless you. That's all God wants to do. But it's not for us, it's for them. Because here's the bottom line, I'm gonna close with this. What he promised, and Abraham's the father of the faith. We're of the seed of Abraham. And Abraham, God told Abraham this, I'm gonna bless you. Every day of your life, I'm gonna bless you. And then he said, for you to be a blessing. And then he said, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.